You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I am Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. Thanks for joining us. If you're in the YouTube, make sure you smash that like button. Let us know you're there. Always helpful when you hit that like button for us. And if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you're subscribed and have those notifications turned on. So when a new podcast drops, you get that notification right away. We've got a lot to get to today. The Blackhawks, literally moments ago, have dropped their preseason schedule. We're going to start the show with that. That includes
checking
the game
right now
in Milwaukee against the Minnesota Wild, which we'll get to. Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land. We're also going to do our final player evaluations of the summer, wrapping things up with some of the only Hawks left, Jonathan Taves and Patrick
Kane. The only
Kane.
Two left. We did everybody.
We got the whole roster.
Full collection.
We cover the one team in the city not afraid to trade your ass.
That's right.
Everybody else in this town is scared to make a trade for whatever reason. Not the Blackhawks. Get the hell out of here.
The White Sox tried.
They tried
really
hard.
They tried for Ohtani.
They're a long tradition of trying really hard to get good players.
They tried so hard. So
I can't believe they didn't take Adam Engel and A.J. Pollock for Shohei Ohtani. What the hell?
Yeah, we tried.
Anyway, there's enough venom floating around the air in these studios from the Cubs and Sox podcast. Make sure you check them out as well, as always. All right, let's start it. Preseason schedule is out. The big bit of news, their fourth preseason game, Sunday, October 2nd, in Milwaukee at Fiserv Arena against the Minnesota Wild. But six preseason games total, kicking things off on the 27th of September against the Blues. They're in Detroit September 28th, back home October 1st against Detroit. Then it's in Milwaukee against the Wild October 2nd, in Minnesota October 6th, and then they wrap up the preseason on October 8th, Saturday in St. Louis.
My wife's birthday.
All right. That's fun. Take her to St. Louis for a Hawks Blues preseason game.
It says romance like a night in St. Louis.
Ever have a reason to go to St. Louis.
Get some toasted ravioli and some bad pizza. And
some jean shorts.
Some jorts, yeah.
Some meth.
I don't know what you have in mind for my birthday, Mario, but count me out. Yeah. So let's get into it. A game in Milwaukee. We've known about this for a while. Finally made official today. There's no downside to this, right? You've got Minnesota. You've got Chicago. You've got Milwaukee kind of right in the middle-ish. If you make a right angle, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the game. I just really suspect this is going to be another Hawks home game. It just feels like it's going to be a bunch of Hawks fans go to Milwaukee and watch the game there.
I would think so.
Yeah, I would say so. Being that it is a preseason game, it wasn't going to be the Predators. If it was a regular season game, maybe Nashville would have made a little bit more sense because of the Milwaukee Admirals being the AHL affiliate of the Predators, a pretty decent Nashville fan base in the city of Milwaukee because of that. But, locationally, you'll get Minnesota fans. You'll get plenty of Blackhawks fans. It's a preseason game. If you're looking to sell out the arena, probably not going to happen. But it should be a good representation for the game. And the new arena in Milwaukee that replaced the Bradley Center, the Fiserv Forum, I don't know if you guys have been there for any events or anything like that.
Seen it from the outside.
Yeah, I went to a Bucks game a few years ago. It was it's a great arena, not a bad seat in the house. I believe they call it the Deer District that surrounds it. It's a huge entertainment district. The whole thing was a huge uptaking by the city of Milwaukee. Turned out very well for them. Obviously, the Bucks bringing an NBA championship to the city didn't hurt either. But it's a great venue, great place to go. I think I don't know how many hockey events they've had, but I know this will be probably the second major one that they've had. They hosted a little college holiday tournament this past December with Wisconsin, Providence, Yale, and the fourth team is Bowling Green. So that was a success for a college hockey little holiday tournament there. But yeah, it's good. It's good. There's you know, Wisconsin-based Hawks fans. Until I moved to the city of Chicago, I was one of them. So it's definitely a good move, and it's a low risk because it's preseason.
Yeah.
The hockey capacity for Five Serve Forum, 15,178. I think there's a shot that – I think that'll sell out. I think it's a bit of an event.
They'll fill it.
Yeah, it'll be filled.
People that paid for tickets or not, there'll probably be a lot of giveaways.
Yeah.
If you're looking for tickets, by the way, Blackhawks announced sale is starting on Friday.
There you go. Milwaukee is a fun little town.
Yeah.
It's a good hockey town. The Admirals have been – they're one of the oldest minor league teams in the United States for a reason. They get a lot of support. They've been around over 30 years, I want to say.
Yeah, predating the AHL.
Yeah, they were an IHL team long before the AHL. They've been around for a long time. I remember once a summer as a kid, we would always spend a weekend in Milwaukee to go to Summerfest. And I remember the Admirals having a big – thing at Summerfest every year, and we're talking, you know, this is the mid to late 80s, so they've got a presence up there. Wisconsin's a big hockey state. You know, there's reasons why Milwaukee's never been in serious contention for an NHL team. I know, you know, you can look it up and figure it out. I'm sure back in the day the Blackhawks didn't want a team that close, and so It's a good. I'm looking forward. It's a Sunday. Maybe we can go road trip it and cover that game live.
Be fun.
And I'm interested to check out the new arena. As I said, I've parked near it when I've gone up to cover some Admirals Ice Hogs or Admirals Wolves games in the last couple of seasons. It looks really cool. And Milwaukee's a great town. So much to do right there at the arena. You put your car in a garage for the day, and you can walk to 30 different restaurants, 30 different bars. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday. Go up there. Watch the Bears game
Sunday
at a bar. Watch
Sunday
the Bears get destroyed by whoever
October.
Played, and then go see the hockey. You know, the weather will still be nice. October 2nd will probably still be 80 degrees. So, that sounds like a good time.
October 2nd, summer.
Yeah.
It is. Indian summer.
It'll still be summer for sure.
October 2nd, I'm looking to see who the Bears play. The Giants in New York.
Okay.
That might be a win.
Maybe.
Celebrate one of three Bears wins in Milwaukee on October 2nd.
I will say, though, good luck to you if you're looking to go into Milwaukee and say, hey, could you turn the Bears game on?
Yeah. Put on the Bears.
That'll be tough. It'll be a tough sell. Well,
we got a super chat from Brandon. He says, move the Coyotes to Milwaukee? Multiple question marks?
No, that won't happen.
Yeah, I don't
Phoenix
think so.
Arizona is shoehorned into becoming a hockey city by the NHL and by Gary Bettman. And good for our friends at PHNX. I saw they got another tour of the college facility.
That didn't take long.
There it is.
They just put them in the center of the ice and said, take a look around, and there you go. There's everything.
No, I think Gary Bettman is obviously going to die on the hill that hockey will work in Arizona.
Gary Bettman will be buried wherever the new Tempe arena is built.
I love our PHNX guys. It ain't working. I don't think it's ever going to work out there.
Like, what is suddenly going to happen? That's going to
Austin Matthews is a Coyote in front of 4,000 fans.
They've had a lot of they've had star players before. They started the franchise with Ronick and Tkachuk.
Yeah,
and it really hasn't. I don't know. Like,
they had
you had
Dylan
the initial
Strome.
Surge of, new thing, let's check it out. But since then,
listen, if you can't make it work with Phil Kessel, you're not a hockey team.
Well, right. Like, here's the idea, though. Like, instead of maybe selling off all these wonderful prospects you draft and develop, well, you don't really develop them, but you draft them, maybe keep them. Let them play for your team.
That's what they're trying
now. Become competitive. I don't know.
They went outside of the box with the GM hire. What was it? Chakla? I can't think of his name right now. Mr.
Chayka.
Chayka. Yeah. He's no longer there, though.
Right. Yeah. No, but they tried to go outside the box with Mr. I'm just a numbers guy, and that was a complete effing disaster.
Yeah, it didn't work.
He proved out that he was, you know, all talk and no action. But, yeah, I mean, maybe win a little bit. That will help. Everybody like, supports a winner.
You're trying to figure out, like, what is the secret to getting people to come to our game? Why isn't hockey catching on in Phoenix? Well, you've got – you keep taking
one
on bad contracts from other teams
basically
just to get to the floor. That's why.
Because you're paying Chris Pronger, Pavel Datsyuk, and Marian Hossa instead of actual hockey players.
Yes. People don't want to come and see you get your ass kicked every night.
People don't want to go pay money, $50, to walk in and look at a contract in a trophy case. Here's our best player's contract, who will actually never play for this team.
they've had one deep playoff run that I can even at the expense of the Blackhawks. that I think really turned into anything. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
win.
That's
the best way to do it. Like you can, you'd be surprised how popular your team will get. If you have like two or three back-to-back deep playoff runs.
Oh, yeah.
It would be amazing what will happen.
And to the people that are like, you know, well, why doesn't Milwaukee have an NHL team? Well, they tried to be an expansion team back in 1990-91-92 season. One of the biggest detractors in the Pettit family pulling their expansion campaign out is because the money that they were going to have to put forward wasn't going to translate to a successful team right away, because expansion teams in the 90s were not the Kraken, were not the Golden Knights. The rules of expansion teams were in favor of all the teams that had star players. Like, oh yeah, you'll keep all of your players. So in the 91-92 season expanded to Ottawa and Tampa, and those teams were terrible right out the gate. And Milwaukee, the Milwaukee group that was trying to get an NHL team at that time, didn't want to go through that. They wanted to be able to have a competitive team, because without a competitive team, even though Milwaukee and Wisconsin is a great hockey market, it has to be competitive right away. Otherwise,
it's not gonna work.
Drawing fans is going to be hard.
So Ottawa, if I remember correctly, wasn't it Alexander Daigh was their first ever draft pick? And weren't they given like the number one pick for being an expansion team?
I think it was a coin flip between the two. The expansions were 1 and 2 that year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they won the coin flip to get number one. I think number two was that Roman Hamrlich? Was he
Tampa?
To Tampa. Was he there?
That sounds right.
I think it was Roman Hamrlich.
Did Radek Bonk come in? Was that the next year? Because Ottawa was so bad.
Those early 90s drafts, that's not my
I think it was the next year.
But.
Third overall in 94, Radek Bonk.
There you go.
One of the greatest mullets in the history of hockey.
And that Ottawa team, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they set the record for fewest wins.
Yeah, and like most road losses. I think they only had like one road win the entire season.
Boy, it's,
go back and Google. If you don't remember, if you're not old enough to remember, you weren't paying attention to those 90s expansion drafts, early 2000 expansion drafts, go Google those and look at the names that were being picked. And you probably haven't heard of any of them. Terrible.
Marc-Andre Fleury-esque player was not available to those teams.
I mean, nobody in the NHL sweated the expansion draft.
No.
You weren't losing anybody of consequence. You were losing your fourth liner on your AHL team.
The Senators had 37 points.
That's bad.
In 93-94. 14 wins. Yashin Daigh. Yashin was good. 79 points in 83 games.
What was
Sylvain Turgeon? That was not the good Turgeon. Oh, this team sucks.
Yeah. So
I think Norm MacGyver was on that team.
Steve Conroy was.
There you go.
There you go.
Yes, Norm MacGyver was on there too.
So winning obviously brings the people into the gate.
Yes, it helps.
And the Coyotes could use some more winning. And I don't know how we completely. off the topic.
Talking about maybe moving the Coyotes to Milwaukee, but
that's what
it would really be great.
No, I don't think it would work.
I think the league has enough teams right now. I don't want to see it expand beyond what they have already done.
If anything, they should get rid of a couple.
Yes, they should contract a couple.
It's an even 32. Like,
but
if you go to 33,
if you are looking at future markets, for whatever reason, you know, they've always talked about Hamilton. They've always talked about getting back to Quebec.
Yeah.
Houston's a huge market.
It's the fourth biggest market in the States.
Right.
And they have a history of hockey there.
But I think Quebec obviously makes a ton of sense. Hamilton makes sense being in Canada. But if you're looking for a U.S. market that's actually going to support and get behind hockey, I think Milwaukee makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the support behind the Bucks, the Admirals, et cetera. They're a passionate fan base, especially for the winter sports. It's kind of a no-brainer, but it's just a matter of who's got to fold or who's got to move, because you're not going to go 33 teams. That's way too watered down.
No, 32 is already watered down enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. October 2nd,
yeah.
Wild, Blackhawks. Nothing brings Wisconsin fans together like a team from Illinois and a team from Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, is this – so the last game is – what was it, October 6th?
October 8th.
October 8th.
So that's a week. That's another late start to the season, right?
Yeah, the 15th –
no, the opening night is October 13th, I want to say.
Is that later than usual, though?
It's like, about a week.
Maybe a week later, but
– yeah, usually they're right around, like, the October 5th, October 6th. So I think it's about a week later.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to have delayed – trade deadline, delayed free agency, delayed draft, like we've been doing with the COVID years.
I don't think so. I think everything is supposed to be back on like a pretty solid schedule.
July 1st just isn't the same without free agency.
I'll have to, well, I mean, here, you guys talk. We'll
talk amongst ourselves.
We'll talk.
I'll figure this out.
No, yeah, I think because the 8th will finish the preseason, and then opening night of the NHL season is 5 days, I think about 5 days later. That's not too bad. I don't think it's too bad of a delay that they're going to, you know, have to worry about any off-season dates being pushed back. I think, too, you don't have to worry about, at least in this season, you don't have to worry about an extended all-star break, Olympic, quote-unquote, all-star Olympic break to screw with this season at all. And hopefully you don't have to worry about any COVID delays screwing with the season at all. Hopefully, knock on all wood.
Not super late. If we look back, 2014, October 9th was the opening night. October 7th and 2015. 2016 was October 12th, so that's right about there.
That's where we opened this year, yep.
And then the 5th, the 17th, 18th were both on October 5th. So it's right about on par with the rest of it. It's a tad late, but it's not like, oh my God, everything's going to get pushed back late.
It's not like third week of October or anything like that. Yeah.
So, by the way, weird start of the season for the Hawks. Opening in Colorado on the 12th, in Vegas on the 13th, in San Jose on the 15th. Then they don't play again until the 21st, where they host Detroit for the home opener.
Yeah.
Is
the circus in town?
Yeah, 5 days off, like right after the first week.
Well, playing
three games in four nights, then 5 days off.
Yeah, that's a little goofy. But
is their bye week like the first week of the season?
I think their bye week is in January. Their official bye week, even though they kind of get a bye week
right
off the bat.
To go 5 days between games, even with travel.
Just to rest on those. That 0-2-1 start or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They're off from February 1st through the 7th.
Yeah, it's that
first. Is that All-Star break?
Yeah, probably. No, anyway, we've got the whole season to figure this out.
No. Today's episode, we're going to completely take a left turn, and we're going to go through all 82 games. Win, loss, overtime loss. We'll figure out the record.
The Dash Law says no COVID delays, but what about monkeypox delays? I can't even start to process this right now. There's a whole other thing potentially happening.
Monkeypox and polio, 2022, baby.
The monkeypox thing, I read about it yesterday. It's not transmitted the same way as COVID, so it shouldn't. I'm not a medical expert. I don't think as long as we respond to it properly.
I have a lot of faith we're going to respond.
Oh, I feel better.
It should be okay, but I will save the details. But it is not transmitted the same as COVID, so I'll just leave it at that.
I also think there's a
tune in next week for CHGO Med, and you'll get all the details you need.
Because there's a visual component to monkeypox, people will now take it more seriously. Well, I don't want to look like that for a week. Okay. Neat.
Well,
CHGO Med, is that being produced by Dick Wolf too?
I think so. Right, yeah, cool. Awesome. We're working on a trio episode with Chicago Fire and
Dick
Chicago.
Wolf and our favorite novel, Short Time Hawks.
The other one, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and then
Chicago Med.
They already have
CHGO Med.
CHGO Med. It's a crossover episode.
I don't know. I like yeah, that.
It's a crossover episode.
It's
where
one
Matt
of those
Peck
Fox shows.
There's a fire at Halston and Ashland. Those don't intersect. Stuff drives me crazy. That was the one thing on the Bear that drove me nuts. They were like, we're on the Edens. We're going to Naperville.
You can't do that. Those two things don't connect.
You are lost.
You obviously have no idea where Naperville is, sir, because yeah, you are not going there.
Yeah.
I think our friend Chris Dubiel here is giving us a reason why there's a break in October. Harry
right.
Styles
yes,
taking over
the
UC.
I did see that. It was spray painted on the sidewalk on Madison Avenue, all up and down Madison on my way in.
Oh, yeah?
Like temporary spray paint, like with stencils.
All Harry
like,
Styles
he's
stuff?
Literally there for like 2 weeks.
Dang. Well, that'll That's be fun. That'll be
yeah,
fun for the Harry Styles fans.
I gotta say,
I dig Harry Styles. His music necessarily isn't my cup of tea, but...
But it's good.
That, yeah, it's not bad.
That was like Justin Timberlake won me over.
Yeah. All right, this I is get actually, why people like it.
He's okay. Yeah. I'm not gonna go see him, but I dig his style. No pun intended, but I mean... Hey, the dude's got some stones with some of the outfits he shows up in, and yep, knowing that he's going to get some flack for it from our overwhelmingly open society. But good for him. I like him.
He's an actor now too.
Of course he is.
Well, he's actually coming out with a movie in September with the one of the Marvel girls in Black Widow, and it's supposed to win like all these awards.
Oh wow!
I will check that out.
It's like a thriller movie. And
so he's
it hasn't
like
come out yet, but it's
Jennifer
supposed
Lopez
to win awards.
Yeah, like there's all the trailers are out for it, but it's already up for like a ton of stuff.
It's Oscar nominated pre-release.
Spoiler alert, they buy their Oscars.
That's the voice of Sarah, our young person correspondent slash producer.
Harry Styles expert.
Thank you for everything, young
Sarah. She keeps
Sarah
us informed.
I gotta tell you, I there's nothing that delights me more than making my daughter embarrassed.
Nice.
So I've turned the word dab into an adjective. And I'm like, boy, this shirt you're wearing is totally dab. And she's like, Dad, a dab is
totally
a gesture.
Dab.
It's not an adjective. I go, you're being very undab right now. And it just drives her. Because the dab is over anyway.
Is it?
So, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
From what I understand. Sarah,
this is like a couple years ago.
Yeah, okay.
It's
so
old.
The more out of touch I come off to her, the more it upsets her, so
we'll
I'm just...
Back.
So the more you're going
to
do it. She hasn't figured it out. It's the reaction you're going for.
Yes.
And the more she gives it to you,
I am trying to annoy and embarrass
you. It's the adult version of I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right, let's get to our player evaluations here. The final two of the season, we've gone through...
A couple of dab players.
Everybody.
These
but first, we got to tell
dab
you about our friends at PointsBet. Best way to support us here at CHGO... Download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Do it right now, and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not all. Make that $50 or more first-time deposit, and you're going to get a free CHGO membership. That gets you access to all of our web content, our great Discord page. You'll even get a free T-shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. So, $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. If you see an edge in a game you're watching, or you think your favorite team is primed for a comeback or a blown lead, more likely in Chicago, don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. What are you waiting for? Download the PointsBet app right now and use that code CHGO. It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Speaking of dab shirts, do you know where you can get yourself some dab gear and dab shirts? You can head over to FOCO. They got all.
It is spreading.
They've
yes
got they've got the dabbest of the dabs over at FOCO. CHGO has teamed up with FOCO to secure your access of all the best collectibles and gear around all of it. Whether it's the Blackhawks, the Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox, or the Bulls, FOCO will have something for you, your kid, or your friend, or your loved one, or your girlfriend's friend, or whoever it is.
What?
Your wife or your girlfriend, whoever you're buying for, FOCO's got it for you.
No discrimination.
No. they don't care. They just put it in a box and give it to you. Looking to get some new gear, collectibles, or accessories, FOCO has officially licensed gear for men, women, and kids. Everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. Rock that Blackhawks banana hammock at the pool this summer. You'll be the talk of the town, no doubt about that.
Looking great.
So head on over to FOCO, that's FOCO.com, or you can click on the link below in our YouTube description if you're watching on the YouTubes. While you're clicking that like button, click on that link to FOCO, FOCO.com. And while you're there, you're going to get 10% off of whatever you buy just by using the promo code CHGO at checkout. So get some dab gear and save some money while you're doing it. It just makes perfect sense to me.
Saving money is pretty dab.
Yeah, nothing is dabbier than
dad
saving money.
And dab all in one.
Exactly.
Saving money.
Your Blackhawks banana hammock will have you the talk of the town because you'll be in the police blotter, by the way. That's why. Save that for home and for special occasions with your wife. Mario, you can wear one to your trip to St. Louis for your wife's birthday with the meth, the cracker pizza, the toasted ravioli, and the Hawks banana hammock.
Hawks banana hammock,
wear your banana hammock under your jean shorts.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are dozens of us.
Already pre-ordered from FOCO.
All right, let's get to it. You guys are going to be very surprised. Patrick Kane, we're going to start with. We're using, it's been a couple weeks, so let's refresh everybody on our grading system. We go with the feathers system. So four feathers is an A, three is a B, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Patrick Kane this season in 78 games had 26 goals, 66 assists for 92 points. He was a minus 19, 9 power play goals, 22 power play assists, 287 shots. He had a 9.1 shooting percentage, averaging 21 minutes and 49 seconds of ice time per game. Had a 49.08% Corsi, 49.44 Fenwick, and a 46.44 expected goals for percentage.
I love that Fenwick.
I gave Patrick Kane four feathers. He gets an A because, frankly, he is the one dude, well, him and DeBrincat, I would say, that you could really depend on a night-to-night basis, and even though we still think he's playing with some kind of injury that no one's really talking about, Patrick Kane might still be playing the best hockey of his career, and it's really, really something to behold. He was awesome last season, and I don't know how you can give him anything but four feathers.
Yeah, him and DeBrincat were the two players this season that got the full four feathers, I think, from all of us this year. And it was very clear they were the two best that the team had playing last season. For Patrick Kane to have his third best season of his career with the way that last year's season went for the Hawks as a whole is something to behold. the team went as he did. If he was going, the team was going, and he was just doing it by himself pretty much the most of the way last year, so he could only drag the team as far as he could on his own. Going into next season, I don't know who's really going to be helping him all that much. I don't, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, him catching the records for all-time Blackhawks, you know, points, assists, whatever. He needs a couple, you know, 70, 80 point seasons to do that if he were to do it all in Chicago. But I don't know if he's going to be reaching those point totals with the way the team's going to be built the next year or two. So
somebody's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. I don't know if he's going to have the supporting cast
to have Connor Bedard on your line next season, buddy. Then
if that's the selling point, for Kane, it better happen.
I almost gave Kane 3.5 feathers.
Scandal.
Almost. Because you got to remember, there was that stretch in November and December. I think he had one goal in 21 games. Like, he went a 21-game stretch with like one or two goals. And people were starting to be like, uh-oh, is this the decline we've all been waiting for? Yeah. Is Alex DeBrincat taking over as the best team? And then he went, yeah, nope, just kidding. I'm going to just – he tied his career high with 66 assists. Still had 26 goals despite going literally a quarter of the season with just one goal.
Mm-hmm.
So he still has it. Yeah, there's that nagging injury we've been hearing about and surfing Duck asks, you know, do we have any idea what it is? Honestly, I don't.
I think we've heard speculation, but it's nothing's just speculation.
I mean, I would suggest if I had to guess upper or lower, I would guess it's an upper body because his speed has not been affected at all. His skating, at least when he has the puck, is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, as we've said before, that as soon as the team doesn't have the puck, how much slower he automatically gets.
Maybe the nagging injury is having to play defense.
Maybe it's that piano on his back that slows him down. So I almost gave him 3.5 just because of that stretch. But again, these grades are built on, at least for me, they're built on expectation. Did he succeed expectations? Did he meet his expectations heading into the season? Absolutely, he did. Mm. He may have even exceeded them. He may have even been a little bit better than I thought, considering, you know, the age and, you know, how the season went for this team. But another reason I gave him the 4 stars is because when things started to fall apart, when, you know, Brendan Hagel was traded, and then all the stuff about, hey, this is a rebuild, what's your future going to be? He handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the other guy who didn't handle it quite as well. So to me, that gave him that extra bump of a feather, because all of that goes into being a player. It's not necessarily just what you do on the ice. The way he handled that, he answered those questions exactly how they needed to be answered. Didn't make it about him. Just said, hey, listen, now's not the time. I worry about this in the off season. We'll have discussions. Right now, I'm just trying to play out this season the best I can for my teammates. That's how you answered those questions. So that's why I gave him the fourth feather. I was kind of, you know, stuck between 3.5 and 4, but that pushed me up to the 4.
Makes perfect sense to me. Narfin says, is he close to taking over any American-born NHL player records? Brett Hull is the leading American-born points scorer, 1,391 points.
Well,
not American-born.
American
player.
American player.
Mike Modano, 1,374. Phil Housley, 1,232. Jeremy Roenick, 1,216, somehow not in the hall. And Patrick Kane, 1,180 points. He should very likely surpass all of them by the time his career is over.
For U.S. born, it would be passing Modano.
Yes.
So I think he can do that.
I think Hull's in sight, too. 1,391. He's got 1,180.
He's 211 points.
He can get that in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
3?
200 points in 3 seasons? That's 70 points a season.
Yeah.
Even if he has a 20-point drop-off this year, which wouldn't be shocking, that's still 72 points.
Yeah, yeah.
It puts him 130 away with 2 seasons.
I guess.
I could see that happen. It's in reach.
Yeah.
It's in reach.
And I think he's got more than 3 seasons left, too.
Yeah, I think he does, too. Yeah.
212 points away. So that's literally 70 points a season for the next 3 seasons, and he's right there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he... He can play at a high level.
He's going to smash it, just like you guys should be smashing that like button.
He's going to dab the records.
Dabbest of all the records.
Yeah, he definitely can play at a high level for at least next 3 seasons as long as his health holds up, which no indication it shouldn't. I don't know. I guess for me it's what does his future hold? If it's in Chicago, what are his teammates going to be? What's his role going to be? If he goes elsewhere, is he going to be, you know, the go-to guy star player, or is he going to go to a team that already has players like that and he plays, I don't want to say a secondary role, but, you know, what is his role on that team? Will it be being a 80-plus point guy, or will he play less than 20 minutes? I don't know. It's just kind of
what team could he go to where he's not a top six? Even if you look at Colorado – he's going to be on a top six in Colorado, and he's going to be on your...
How could you not put him with McKinnon?
He's going to be on your top power play unit.
Yeah.
I think his chances of breaking the record are better if he leaves, you know, because he's not going to leave for just a lateral team like as good as the Hawks or, like, you know, a team that's a fringe. He's going to go try to win another cup. That's the whole point. That would be, for me, for Patrick Kane, the singular reason he would leave is to play for another cup.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe to break the American born record, you know, the American scoring record. But I think he could do that here too. So if he's going to Colorado or Tampa or wherever you want to, or the Rangers, which just won't go away, he's going to be a top six player for them for sure.
Yeah, I think all these things we just talked about, the American record, the Blackhawks franchise records, those are all major selling points the Blackhawks should be making to him if they want him to stay around. I mean, and those are all great PR things, too, for when you have a team that's not going to be that great. There's not a lot of reasons to show up for the next 3 or 4 years. There's a reason to buy a ticket in 2 years, is to possibly see Patrick Kane break that record, set that record.
Mm-hmm.
That's a marketing tool for this team that needs a lot of reasons to get you to show up for the next couple of seasons.
Definitely.
So there's your value in keeping him around past this season if the Hawks want to do that. And that's why I think ultimately I think Patrick Kane is still here after this season. I think he's the guy they bring back. I don't see Patrick Kane as a cup chaser. I honestly believe that setting the Blackhawks records are more important to him than another Stanley Cup. He doesn't need that cup to cement his legacy. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer if he retires right now. Doesn't matter what he does from here on out. He's not Phil Bork. Or Phil Bork. Phil
Ray Bork.
Ray Bork.
Ray Bork.
Well, Phil Bork never won a cup either. He's not Ray Bork. He's not Kimmo Timonen. He's not Marian Hossa. He's not that guy that needed that cup to cement his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just, you know, this is all he's known. If I was a betting man, and I can be when I log in the points bet, that's the only time I'm a betting man, I would think he's back after this season. I just have a feeling the longer he doesn't decide he wants to go somewhere, the more he decides to stay here.
So I know we got a lot of time to get into this, but I've been thinking a lot about these two. And I think you're right. If I had to handicap it, I think Kane is more likely to stay than Taves, especially if things this year are not a disaster. And when I say that, yes, they're going to lose, right? Like, that's a given. They just don't have a lot of talent on the roster. But if the coaching staff is solid, if there's signs of growth, if the organization is functioning as an organization should, those are the sort of things that I could see Patrick Kane looking at and saying, look, I like playing for Luke Richardson and Derek King and Derek Plante and Kevin Dean, and everything's cool.
All the Derek's.
We're having a good time. I like being with these kids and helping them play. I get to be on a line with Lucas Reichel, or I get to play on a line for, you know, this year with Jonathan Toews. Whatever his logic will be, as long as things aren't Jeremy Colleton-esque, I could see him just sticking it out and trying to break the scoring record.
And there's no pressure.
There's no pressure, and I think the chances of this season being a complete disaster are very slim. Like, when you look at Richardson and who his crew is, you look at the leadership group, the hockey ops side, things are going to run the way they should. Again, the losses will be there, but it's not going to be the chaos that it's been for the last 2-3 years.
Disaster is last season.
Yes.
Last season was, let's try and build something to do something significant this year and maybe make some noise into the postseason. And absolutely none of that happened. It was a disaster. The way that this season is already kind of shaping up to kind of look, based on what they've done with trades and free agent moves and things like that, disaster almost would be the team winning too much.
Yeah, being too good.
Because
somehow making the playoffs, that would be disaster.
That would be disaster, because the plan of long-term rebuild, making sure that we, you know, the team is able to extend a successful contention window longer than, you know, 4 or 5 years. It's like 10, 11, 12 years, hopefully. You don't do that by, in year one, getting the 14th pick or making the playoffs. Like, you do it by being in the lottery and having a shot at a generational franchise-changing player in the draft.
Yeah,
So as a disaster would almost be not too much success, wins, quote unquote. But I will say, because I think it was kind of, we were kind of talking a little bit about it earlier this week on our previous shows about the team succeeding and should we be rooting for them to lose? Like, no. Like, if it so, these are professional players. They are designed in a lab to win, win. That is the mentality they have. They don't go out there saying, oh, I can't score this goal, otherwise we might win, and that's going to screw up the rebuild. Like, that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking, in the moment, win this hockey game. Whether they win or lose is you know, the outcome that, you know, gets played out. But they're trying to play to win, all those players. And not to, you know, shake up Jay's nightmares of the team being too good, but if Jonathan Toews does have a resurgence, if Patrick Kane plays up to the level that he's shown before, if Seth Jones has another season like last year, if Peter Mrazek kind of bounces back from his terrible season last season, if Max Domi and Andreas Athanasiou take these opportunities to play in a top six role and run with them, Lucas Reichel turns out to be, you know, a pretty decent player. They might actually win more games than we're expecting them to. And if they are, as far as the rebuild goes, that's not good, but we're still going to enjoy a team that wins. I think we're going to kind of be in a weird spot if all those things happen, where we're like, okay, the team's winning, we're enjoying that. This doesn't go along with the rebuild, which is hard to not enjoy, but how do you not, like, it's a
yeah,
weird,
it's going to be
a weird
dynamic,
be a weird spot to be in.
Sure.
But again, I think the plan of the rebuild and the way things are set up, it should go to plan.
Yeah. Here's how you can correct that. If you have goals in three straight games, you're automatically traded. and
take a seat.
And more Alex Stalock starts. 40-plus Alex Stalock starts will prevent any of that nonsense from happening.
There you go. That will help your
problem.
That'll help
solved.
Your winning issues. Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to Jonathan Toews before we wrap up. Going over his numbers, 71 games, 12 goals, 25 assists, 37 points, minus 14, 4 power play goals, 3 power play assists, 125 shots, 9.6% shooting percentage, averaged 17.29 of ice time, 47.92 Corsi, 47.68 Fenwick, 47.92 expected goals for Jonathan Toews. I gave him two feathers, and much like you discussed earlier, Greg, with Patrick Kane, we're grading this on expectations. And hockey-wise, we didn't really know what to expect from Jonathan Toews, right? Missed an entire year with the mystery illness, came back and was sort of vague about how he was feeling, how he was doing, what he dealt with, those sort of things. Started the season on a big goalless streak. But for me, what
25 games, right?
Yeah, I had him down. I had him at 2.5, and then I started thinking about some of the other things that Jonathan Toews did. The things we did expect from him last season were leadership opportunities, and I think there were several times where he had the opportunity to show that he was a solid leader where he failed. First with the resignation of Stan Bowman, and his first comments were, I don't think it's fair that a guy loses his career over one mistake and yada, yada, yada.
He was always nice to me.
He treated me well. So then, again, 2 days later, he's got to go restate what
say
he meant, say he was insensitive, whatever. Same thing when the trades go down. I don't know if I want to be here. I don't know how to be a captain of a losing team. I don't know what rebuild means. Very, very self-centered behavior from Jonathan Toews in both cases. And that's something I never thought I would really see from him, a guy who was dubbed the best captain in hockey for a long time. Well, you know, Jonathan, you really frankly prove your leadership when things get tough. It's really easy to be a captain when things are going well. And, you know, the make of a player and of a leader is, how do you handle adversity? And this was really his first time having to handle team adversity, and I think he failed miserably. So I gave him two feathers for that.
Yeah, I almost went lower than two feathers because of those exact reasons. It was a difficult year for Jonathan Toews off the ice. It wasn't a great year for him on the ice either. But again, as you mentioned, these grades are based on expectations, and I literally had zero expectations for Jonathan Toews this season because we had no idea what player we were getting. He missed an entire season for a mystery ailment that never really made a whole lot of sense. You know, he was coming off a pretty good 2019-20 season. That, of course, that 18-19 season was the best of
career
his
career. Yeah.
That was wasted. So, you know, and he struggled big time to score. And you know, every important stat was down, and that, but that wasn't unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So to mark him low because you thought he was going to be that 2018-19 season Jonathan Toews, well, then you had unrealistic expectations for him, because I think we all knew that wasn't going to happen. So that's why I gave him 2. I wanted to go lower because, yeah, the results weren't great. The only stat that, like, really jumps off the page as far as, like, really good was he had one of his best face-off years ever, 59%.
That didn't go away.
Yeah, that was great to see. And a team that struggled mightily to win face-offs outside of him and Dylan Strome, he's going to literally have to take all the face-offs this season.
Yeah.
So I hope him and Yannick Perreault are working out. But, you know, again, as Jay, you said, all that other stuff was so disappointing. And just, you know, we didn't get on the beat until early March. So, you know, the trades happened pretty much right after. And anytime we got to talk to him post-game or after practice, it was just like, he's such a downer. He's just the way he wanted, like, he just sounded like a defeated man. And you don't want that out of your captain in a room full of young players. So hopefully this year, his recent interview with Mark Lazarus of The Athletic sounded more positive. It was a little more optimistic. I felt better about his attitude. So maybe it's just going to take some time to get in there, get Luke Richardson to put his arm around him and say, hey, I need you. Like, you're my guy here. We need to work on this, and we'll see what happens.
I think the coaching change is going to make a big difference for him.
I think so, too, because, like, no disrespect to Derek King. We're all big fans of him, but he was not an NHL coach. He was not ready for that position.
Not ready for that moment, yeah.
And he said as much.
Yeah, basically. He admitted it. He admitted it, and to his credit, he wasn't ready for that. And now you got a guy in Luke Richardson, yes, who's never been a head coach outside of a couple of playoff games filling in.
A couple of Stanley Cup final games.
I mean, those are okay. I mean, but did they win those games? No, I'm just kidding. But this is a guy that is ready for it.
Nah, whatever.
It doesn't matter. Luke Richardson is definitely a guy that is more polished and more ready for that. And he's a guy that, as Derek King said, he couldn't command a room. Luke Richardson commands a room. He commanded the room at that press conference. When he came in here and he walked in the doors here at CHGO, you were like, that is a damn hockey coach
a person, a coach with a presence.
This guy, no matter what, if he tells me exactly how many drops of cream he wants in his coffee, I'm going to do that exactly because he just has that presence. So I think having a guy like that for Jonathan Toews is going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, and I want to, like, be careful how I say this because I don't mean it critically. I think – for a guy like Toews, who has really only been a winner his entire life, maybe he felt like the correct way to be a leader when the team was losing was to act pissed, was to be like, this is unacceptable and we're terrible and I can't deal with this. And maybe he felt like his best way to lead was to show the rest of the players on the team that he still cared, that he wasn't going to tolerate losing. And that sort of leans to, like, the topic of, well, I don't really know how to be a – he said something along the lines of, I don't know how to be a captain of a rebuild. And I think what he was saying was how do I show leadership when the idea is to lose? And I think maybe with more stable hockey ops leadership and a more stable and respected coaching staff, he's going to be told, look, man, here's what we want from you. And I think maybe those postseason meetings with Kyle Davidson – may have included some of those conversations. Because one thing we know about Kyle Davidson is he's just very frank.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, you know, he's not a bullshitter. He doesn't, like,
gives no F's
twist it. Yeah, he just tells you, like, this is what we're thinking, and it is what it is, and we got to do what's best for the team. Cool. Mm-hmm. I think he said, you know, I think the conversation could have had something in it that was like, we don't need you game by game living and dying with the result. We want you to help get these kids to the next level, understand how to integrate into the NHL, not only on the ice but off the ice. Like, that's how we need you to show leadership here. And yeah, compete hard in the corners and do what you've always done on the ice, right? That was the thing, is like, if the captain of the team and the highest paid player can go in and win puck battles and block shots and do all those things, then everyone on the roster can do this. And that's why Jonathan Toews was looked at in such a respected way, and rightfully so. That's how you lead on the ice. But I think if you lose, getting pissed off and being short with the media, and that does set a bad example. And I think that might be what Jonathan Toews has to learn over this offseason. And I think the leadership in charge, both on and off the ice, are the right kind of people to get that message to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a change in mindset. Instead of saying this is unacceptable, you say, okay, this is why it's unacceptable, and here's how we not repeat the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take it. Don't live and die with the results of every single game. Live and die with the progression, and that's what my advice to all Blackhawk fans are. Don't live and die with every shift. Live and die with the progression from opening night to the end of the night. And
right.
As we got another $2 super chat from our guy, Brandon. Man, Brandon, you must have an amazing job because you are super chatting. You are our dabbest of the super chatters here on CHGO Blackhawks. But King Admiral Luke should do well as a head coach. I agree with that. I'm excited to see what Luke Richardson can do.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, I'm just basing that on chatting with him a couple of times and what everybody in Montreal says. I have no cute little heat map charts to put on Twitter to explain why I think he's going to be a good coach. He's just got that vibe of a guy that knows what he's going to do and, you know, he's another guy that has a plan.
Yeah. He has a solid approach, it seems, to being a coach, in a modern NHL, I think is very important. Everything that we heard coming out of Montreal were great things about him. Hearing him talk at the press conference, having him here in studio, really felt, you know, you could feel the presence that he brings as a coach. The mind that he brings and the temperament that he brings to the game is good stuff. And most recently we got, you know, an endorsement basically from Max Domi, saying like, yep, I wanted to come to Chicago because Luke Richardson was going to be the head coach. And Domi had some of his best seasons in Montreal in his career when Richardson was on that coaching staff. So I think, you know, every indication so far is that, you know, Richardson should come in and be a really positive influence on this team and on this organization in a head coaching role. And so far, I don't think there's any reason not to believe that. And I think for Taze, I also gave him two feathers, exact same reasons that have all been covered. I think for him coming into this season and the thought of leadership, like Greg said, it's not necessarily we need you to lead to win and, you know, bring us out of the depths when we lose. It's more of, you are the future Hall of Famer. You are the captain. Set the example in the locker room of what it is to do day in and day out, to be that pro, to be that way. Set the tone in the locker room that way. Because I go back to the conversation we had with when we had the Chicago Steel head coach, guy, I cannot remember his name, Brock Sheehan. We had him on the show, and he emphasized how much doing things off the ice the right way, in workouts, in meetings, in practices, all these things for the Steel, setting the culture of winning so that when you go onto the ice, all of those things you do off the ice translate on the ice, and the success follows that. I think for Jonathan Toews, that is a lesson that when he was captain of the early 2010s and the cup winning teams, he also had Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, mm-hmm, and Patrick Sharp and Patrick Kane and Marian Hossa and so down the line, all these guys that also were doing those things to set the tone in the locker room, in workouts, in meetings, off the ice, you know, even just hanging out as a team on road trips and things, doing it in a way that built that, you know, winning culture, the environment of we are doing things the right way and the success on the ice is coming. This is a team that has not really had that outside of guys like Toews and Kane for a number of years. Duncan Keith obviously was gone last season as well. Brent Seabrook has been gone. So I think if he can focus more on that, setting that up for the future of the team, and not having to be Stanley Cup contending expectations captain, I think that can help not only him change the mindset, change around his mindset going into the season. It can help kind of change around the mindset of the team and kind of bring together a future forward looking team.
Yeah.
And then that can set up a culture of success for the next wave coming behind him. If he wants to be here for that, that's up to him.
Yeah, like flipping the Gatorade table after a loss when you've got Hossa and Sharp and Keith and Seabrook and all the people you mentioned has a different feel than it does if he does it in a room full of kids.
Right.
Because the kids are going to feel that as he's mad at us for not being good enough. Whereas if he does something like that in a room full of veterans, in a room full of all-stars, in a room full of Hall of Famers, they're going to see that as he's blowing off steam for himself. That's an exaggeration. Flipping over the BioSteel table.
Yeah, there you go.
Throwing the BioSteel bottle.
Yeah, not that he has a history doing, but I'm just saying, your average verbal or physical expression of frustration after a game feels different to all those greats and legends who are Johnny's pissed. We're all pissed in our own different way. But Lucas Reichel sees that in a couple of years, if he's still here, Frank Nazar sees that and they're oh God, he's mad at us for not performing. And that can do some damage on the confidence of young players. Yeah. So as times change, your leadership has to adapt. And hopefully in the time since Hagel was traded to when the puck drops on the 2022-23 season, Jonathan Toews has sort of gotten some instruction and figured out himself how to adapt his leadership.
The goalposts have moved.
Yeah.
And you've got to realize that and not have your expectations quite as high as they were in the past. And you mentioned one of the buzzwords there, Mario, culture. That's a big word that general managers love to say. Winning culture. Well, Jonathan Toews, his majority of his career was in a winning culture. Patrick Kane knows what it is to be in a winning culture. Yep. Tyler Johnson knows what it's like to be in a winning culture. Those are the guys you need to get on board to just be like, just show these guys what it takes to be professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Show us what it takes. And that doesn't mean winning every faceoff. Show it what it's like to be a professional winning hockey player on and, more importantly, off the ice.
Who's a good player who's been on teams that have always sucked?
Shane Doan.
He's a good one. Phil Kessel.
Phil, no.
No. That's a two-time cup champion.
Only when he's in Toronto.
those were decent teams.
But
with just
I think Shane Doan is not a bad call.
Shane Doan.
Jonathan Toews, pick up the phone and say, dude, how did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
How year after year after year did you handle? Maybe we can get Shane Doan on the show.
We can make a call to the PHNX group and see if they got his number.
That would be an interesting conversation.
I know our PHNX crew knows his son's number, so there's our connection there.
There you go.
Former Blackhawks captain Alex Shamanov, as Surfing Duck points out. Mm-hmm. Now a head coach in Russia. If we can get him between smokes, we can put him on the podcast.
Yeah, why not?
I'd love to talk to Alex Shamanov. I could wear my number 13 jersey
on
the
show. Are we able to connect to the Russian internet servers?
I don't
servers?
Know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Not sure about that
conversation. That's the question.
Exactly, yeah.
Here's Alex Zamenhof and the entire KGB.
I like the Shane Doan idea. Let's talk to our guy Craig Morgan and see if we can make that happen.
I think we could. I hated Shane Doan as a player. I just hated him. And then I got the chance to actually talk to him for a little bit when I was scouting in the North American League. He was in town for a big showcase that his son Josh was part of the Junior Coyotes program, and he was coaching, so I actually got to talk to him for 5 or 10 minutes, and I was like, okay, dude, I hated you as a player, but you're a pretty awesome guy.
Yeah.
And he was super cool, so I think he would do it.
All right.
He'd be a good guest.
Let's make it happen. Let's get it done.
One thing I would say to Jonathan Toews, if he's listening or watching.
He is.
I know he is.
He's one spamming us. In the
he's a spammer.
he's here for my feet.
He's being very undabbing.
If he has not, I would highly recommend checking out the show Ted Lasso and watching the character arc of one Roy Kent. I don't know if you guys have watched the show at all.
Not me.
But that is, I feel like that is something that really shows a player on a different side of his career, unhappy with the situation he's in, and kind of the culture of that team changing as he changed as well. So that would be something I would have Jonathan Toews take a look at. Get the Apple subscription and watch actually, that show.
That is such an awesome comparison. That is a really, really solid observation by you. We should make that a YouTube clip. I'm calling it.
Okay.
I think that is so right. A surly, proven veteran at the end of his career on a team that now sucks. His game is not what it used to be, and he's dealing with that reality. That's a great comparison. That's a great comparison. I like that a lot.
I have a feeling.
I'm so happy Jonathan's, with myself now.
I have a weird sneaking suspicion that Jonathan Toews has watched Ted Lasso.
It seems to be popular amongst the athletes. Yeah,
he's the target audience.
Yeah. All right, what do we need?
What do we need? Oh, we need a product that works just as hard as we all do. What am I talking about?
Well, it's something that works harder than that for me.
It's Owen, not Owen Power, spelled differently. O-W-Y-N stands for only what you need. It is a 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition that works just as hard as you do. All of Owen's products are free of artificial ingredients, they are allergen-friendly, and they don't contain any gluten or dairy, which makes them more easily digestible. Good for me. You may have heard about Owen from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who follows a plant-based diet. Right now, Owen and CHGO are partnering up to give you an awesome offer. You can get 20% off of your first purchase when you go to liveowen.com and you use the promo code CHGO20. That's 20% off of your first purchase when you use the promo code CHGO20 at liveowen.com. I've been using Owen for workout recovery. I don't believe it is used as a meal replacement, but I have done it before in a pinch. It tastes good. Keeps you full if you need to do that.
Can you dump it on a meal?
I don't see why not. It's your Owen. You can do
Fruit Loops in the morning.
Yeah, right.
It's your Owen. You can use it how you want. Join myself and Justin Fields, pitchers of perfect health.
Yes.
One and the same. Try Owen for yourself. Again, that's O-W-Y-N, only what you need. Owen, plant-based protein shake.
All right. That show flew by.
It did.
That was a lot of fun. Tomorrow is Throwback Thursday. We are going to focus on the Hawks of the 90s.
Yeah.
In honor of Tony Monte's 52nd birthday.
No Harry.
Did our Harry Dick show.
Yeah.
We can do one later if people are into it.
We need to save that for one of those West Coast late night post game shows. That needs to be after 11 p.m.
Yes.
We'll go through the history books.
But yeah, we're going to talk about Tony Monte and some of the things that happened after that cup run and before the dynasty. All the stuff that happened in between there. There were some actual pretty good Blackhawks in that span that a lot of people have forgotten about.
A lot of really good players on bad teams.
I think I need to bring my Jocelyn Thibault McFarland. Oh, we're remote tomorrow.
You can put it on your desk.
I'll put it right on my desk there, so everybody can see it.
We have a Jocelyn Thibault cam.
I have a bobblehead and a McFarland. Remember the McFarland sport picks?
Those were cool.
Yeah, I got one of those Jocelyn Thibault
ones.
And
then Friday we are going to...
Friday's our podcast only day.
And that will be... Blackhawk prospects playing in the World Juniors.
Yes, we should. I was expecting Team USA to announce their roster yesterday since they are traveling to Alberta yesterday. They traveled. They should be in Edmonton now. I guess
Canada's came out yesterday.
Canada's came out. Team USA, should come out later today at some point. No one on Canada's roster for the August World Junior, but the World Junior coming up in December, which will be the 2023 World Junior. There could be at least four Blackhawks on Team Canada. We'll see. There may be at least four Blackhawks on Team USA for this upcoming World Juniors. Dominic James, Frank Nazar, Landon Slagert, and Wyatt Kaiser were on the roster for the final cuts going up for Team USA. I would at least expect three of those players to probably make it. I think Nazar, Kaiser, and Slager are going to be on the team. But, hey, don't rule out Dominic James. He had himself a good camp. We'll see what happens and then go from there. But, yeah, that tournament starts on the 9th, I believe.
Very exciting. All right, join us tomorrow at 11 for Throwback Thursday. Thanks to Sarah for running the show today. We appreciate it. And she did a dab job.
Dab job.
Probably the dabbingest producer job we've had all week. So thank you so much for that. And we'll be back tomorrow at 11 on a CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.